gay volunteer state. It's time to join the nation. With Chris Lowe of ESPN.com and Austin Price of Rivals and Volquest.com. Presented by Mortgage Investors Group. Breaking news and giving expert analysis. For the next hour, Chris and Austin will take your calls on college athletics around the SEC and the nation. College football, basketball, special guests, recruiting, and more. The Nation. Hosted on location by Texas Roadhouse.
Sponsored by Mortgage Investors Group, the number one lender in the state of Tennessee, making the American dream possible. Learn more at MIGOnline.com. By Texas Roadhouse, your home for legendary food and legendary service. 12 area East Tennessee restaurants. By Marathon, featuring top-tier clean gasoline for peak performance. Stop by your neighborhood Marathon station. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. By Farm Bureau Health Plans. When looking for health care coverage, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through the choices. By Tennessee LASIK Associates, proud supporter of the Tennessee Volunteers. See the difference with Tennessee LASIK. And by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light, made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Distributed across the volunteer state by Cherokee Distributing. The Nation is also brought to you by...
It's been an outstanding Sunday for everybody. A little cool this morning at Church AP.
Perfect.
Because we had outside service. But boy, it's heated up. It's nice here at the Texas Roadhouse. Got a big crowd here as usual on Sunday evening, waiting outside. And we're certainly glad to be with our friends at the East location out here at the old Knoxville Center Mall. As we come to you, we do this every Sunday night. It's the Nation. It's good to be with my good friend Austin Price, sporting a Pinehurst golf shirt. You got golf swag from all over the country, don't you?
I try.
Torrey Pines, Pinehurst, Augusta National. Got any Wingfoot stuff?
Next year.
All right. Speaking of Wingfoot, Bryson DeChambeau wins the U.S. Open.
Only
today.
Player to finish under par, and he finished a 6 under par.
That's a monster of a course. I think I'd shoot about 120 on that course. What would you shoot from the back tees on that course?
Same or worse. I mean, it just...
if you shoot 120, I'd shoot 140.
From the back tees, you've got to be able to get it to the fairway.
Well, that's true. I'd have a hard time.
And then you've got to be able to make the fairway, then keep it in the fairway. That's where you get in trouble.
Well, we're glad you could join us tonight as football has already been here, but now it's really here because the SEC kicks it off. This coming Saturday, Tennessee traveling to Columbia East, Columbia South Carolina, to take on the South Carolina Gamecocks. The Vols a 3-point open. AP is a 3-point favorite in that game on the road. And we certainly want to thank our friends at Mortgage Investors Group. The Nation is presented across the state of Tennessee each week by Mortgage Investors Group, the number one lender in the state of Tennessee. Mortgage Investors Group is excited to help home buyers affordably achieve the dream of home ownership by giving you the home court advantage. This great advantage will allow you to get into that dream home with less money out of your pocket. Home buyers will be provided with an exclusive 15-year fixed-rate second mortgage of $7,500, which will help cover your down payment, closing costs, prepaids, and in some cases, a portion of the insurance cost. This is not just for the first-time home buyers. Move-up buyers may be eligible. Call MIG today to learn more about the Home Court Advantage program. Mortgage Investors Group is committed to helping Tennesseans fulfill their dreams of home ownership. Go to MIG's website, MIGOnline.com, to chat with a licensed loan officer. So, as I said, Vols a 3-point favorite, open as a 3-point favorite on Saturday against the South Carolina Gamecocks. Gamecocks going with a grad transfer. That's the norm now in college football. Quarterback free agency. I mean, when's the next time you're not going to see, I want to say half the league, but a large percentage of the elite teams, the Power 5 teams, are going to have, you know, some years more than others, but you're going to see grad transfer quarterbacks become a bigger and bigger part of college football.
Well, especially once the one-time transfer waiver goes in, and that's going to go in probably late in the year in preparation for next football season. But I do think that that's something that's going to happen sooner rather than later. And, I think that you're going to continue to see some of the best programs in the country, continue to, reap the rewards of having good quarterback play. Don't think for a minute that, whether Joe Brady's there or not, LSU's not going to go, look what we did for Joe Burrow. Come to Baton Rouge.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think you'll see people go there, just like people. I mean, Oklahoma's become a destination for those type of guys after, you have Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and then, of course, Jalen Hurts all roll into Norman and either win the Heisman or at least be a finalist.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the way you can plug and play guys, especially guys who've had, as you mentioned, Oklahoma's a good example of that, schools and programs and systems and coaches who've had success. So Colin Hill, the starter for the Gamecocks on Saturday, played at Colorado State. Here, couple notes, he's had three major knee injuries, surgeries, ACL surgeries. So this is a guy that, I think he's a tough kid, confident, can throw the football, doesn't move around real well. And I think a big key for Tennessee is going to be getting to him. Where is Tennessee, as you look that sort of matchup, Tennessee's defensive line, their front seven, and be able to get pressure on him, where does Tennessee have to be really good on Saturday?
Well, I think they've got to be good off the edge. And I think if you can collapse the pocket, try to force him to do something he's not comfortable with, which is moving around, then that's going to make him uncomfortable and could cause some mistakes. So I think Tennessee's got to be good off the edge. How does Kayvon Bennett, react to being the guy instead of, kind of the guy that everybody forgot about last year? He had a really nice year last year opposite Daryl Taylor, but now he's supposed to be in that Daryl Taylor role. Who else steps along? Is it Roman Harrison on the other side? Is it Tyler Barron? Does DeAndre Johnson finally give you something? And then the defensive lineup front as a whole, Jeremy Pruitt was not crazy about their fall camp. Can they turn it on? Or was their fall camp much like, and I don't want to compare the two, okay? It's not that, but you remember 1998, everybody thought the offense was terrible in fall camp, but in reality, it was just because the defense was that good. Is the defensive line regressed a little bit, or is it just that the offensive line, even though they've had some guys miss from time to time, they're really, really deep and really, really talented?
I remember talking to Cutcliffe and Coach Fulmer that year and them wondering if they're ever going to make a first down going into the season. Now, as it turns out, Al Wilson and Sean Ellis and Ray Knock Thompson and that crowd on defense were pretty darn good. But sometimes the preseason scrimmages, et cetera, can't, especially in a year like this, when you haven't had your guys on the field a lot together.
Speaking of the offensive line, let's hit on the note of the week, and that being Cade Mays, who won his appeal with the NCAA, still has yet to be green-lit by the SEC. I know this is something that the league office has not normally been happy with or has frowned upon, a kid going conference to conference and staying in this league, but with the one-time transfer waiver coming into effect very, very soon, and the fact that eligibility does not count this year, Coach Pruitt seemed somewhat optimistic that Greg Sankey was going to do the right thing at some point, probably before Saturday.
And there's been some precedent. Well, the kid from Alabama, Maurice Smith, the defensive back, went from Bama to Georgia. Two, 3 years ago,
yes.
I guess. So there is some halfway recent precedent for it. At this point with the NCAA giving him the waiver, I would be surprised if the SEC votes or says, no, you can't play.
Yeah, because, ultimately, the SEC is underneath the umbrella of the NCAA. So if the bigger organization, so to speak, says you're good, I just think it would be between the fact that, a lot of people feel like Tennessee got the short end of the stick with the scheduling compared to others in the league. If they don't win,
go talk to Missouri about that.
But other teams that are in that ilk of historical reference.
I know. I'm just, that was, when the SEC released that, and I knew as soon as that came out, where there was no real clarity on how they went about the two teams, you knew all hell was going to break loose.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's much like the guys from the Big Ten were saying this the last 2 months or month and a half. Okay, you said we're not playing, fine, but just give us a reason as to why we're not playing. Just give us a reason as to how you come up with the schedule parameters.
Right. And I think that, and they tried to sort of come back, double back, and say, well, we've tried to look at the totality of schedules and balance them out that way, not just the two added games. I mean, I understand that part of it, but at least come out on the front end and say, okay, this is the way we're going to do it.
Yes.
Everybody knows going in that some, if you just look at the two additional games, maybe it's going to look a little bit imbalanced, but that's not the way we looked at it. If they had done that on the front end, then maybe there's not quite as much gnashing of the teeth. But I'd have loved to have been on that coach's call, because in talking to some coaches who were on that coach's call, it got pretty testy.
Yeah, specifically from the Auburn side of things.
Well, Auburn wasn't the only one.
No,
there were a few that were not real happy. Speaking of South Carolina, I tell you, we talked about Tennessee's offensive line and getting Cade Mays in and getting the word from the SEC and getting him eligible this week would be big. One of the Gamecock strengths is their offensive line as well. That should be one of, and I'm not saying their overriding strength, but one of their strengths, which, again, going back to the matchup we just talked about, being able to protect Hill and keep him upright.
They're really good guard to guard. Their tackles are not as great.
And that's where you get back into
coming
pass
off the
protection.
Edge.
But I still think that middle, when you're able to consistently get that middle pressure on quarterbacks, they hate that. And I think that's something to watch, how Tennessee is able to generate pressure, where they bring it from. Because you know they're going to have some stuff dialed up and try to come after him, get him out off kilter early, and certainly not let him get into a rhythm. The one thing that's going to be so different this year, AP, and we're all going to have to get adjusted to this, is you start talking about, well, you know, teams getting off early and not getting behind and the crowd getting into it. Crowd's not going to be a big factor this year on the road.
No, it's not. Much like, you know, when teams come to Neyland, you're going to have a much better chance of coming in here and getting a win. Tennessee's going to have a much better chance of going to Georgia week three and getting a win, or, you know, to Auburn in the month of November and getting a win. So, I mean, you're right. I 100% agree that, you know, the road teams, you know, they're going to be able to hear their cadence. I'll be interested to see what happens if a game ends up in overtime. Do all the fans stay socially distanced, or do they all go to the end zone where – you know what I'm saying? Because at that point, it's kind of Katie bar the door. Good luck to the ushers and everybody trying to tell them, hey, get back to your assigned seat. They're all going to roll down there to the one end zone. I would be shocked if they don't.
So the AP poll released – the latest AP poll released today, and a little bit skewed because they're still not including – and I don't understand why – they're not including Big Ten teams are including SEC teams. Of course, neither conference has played a game yet. Tennessee checks in this week, AP, I think it was at 16.
That's right, correct.
16 in the AP poll.
They fell a spot.
So, again, I don't know what that really means, but they are 16th. I think the thing that is, when you look at the SEC this year, or this weekend, we were talking about this just before we came on, big game for both Tennessee and South Carolina. But, boy, for South Carolina, when you look at their schedule, if they don't win this game, I think they're looking at 1-5 to start the season, because they got Florida after Tennessee, and then they also got, coming down the road, they got A&M and LSU and Auburn.
You know, but you could say the same thing about Tennessee.
No, I know.
I mean, like,
I know.
If Tennessee doesn't win this game.
Welcome to a league-only schedule, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, they beat Missouri. I'm going to give them that one. But then after that, I mean, like, at Georgia, Kentucky's good. I get Kentucky's got to prove they can beat Tennessee more than twice in a 38-year span.
Right, which
to be
they
a,
haven't.
You know,
they
but they're still going to be a good football team. And that game's sandwiched between Georgia and Alabama. So, yes, if Tennessee wins the game Saturday night, then they'll be 2-0 going to Athens, as we just discussed, a game on the road where there won't be really a crowd advantage for the Bulldogs.
Let's say it like this. I think the team that loses this game is going to have a hard time having the kind of season
they want to have. Yep.
All right. You mentioned Kentucky. I talked to somebody just recently who saw Kentucky practice who thinks that they're going to be really good, especially up front. Can their quarterback, Terry Wills, can he stay healthy? And can they take a jump, make a move throwing the football and be consistent throwing the football? I tell you what, let's go ahead and take our first break here on The Nation. He's Austin Price. I'm Chris Lowe. We'd love for you to come by and see us tonight at the Texas Roadhouse here on the East Side location. We'll be back in just 1 minute. We're at Texas Roadhouse tonight at the East location near the old Knoxville Center Mall. Texas Roadhouse is your home for legendary food and legendary service. Visit one of their 16 locations throughout the state of Tennessee. Do you hate to wait? Download the Texas Roadhouse mobile app and get your name added to the wait list before you arrive or order to go. Get your game day food from Texas Roadhouse. Place your to-go order online at togo.texasroadhouse.com to enjoy while you're cheering on the Vols. Texas Roadhouse is your home for hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides and dressings, fresh-baked bread, ice-cold beer, and legendary margaritas.
A lot's changed in the past few months, from how we protect our health to how we work. But for more than 70 years, Farm Bureau Health Plans has helped Tennesseans protect themselves, their families, and their savings. So right now, it's good to know that you have short-term, individual, and family plan options, along with dental and vision, for whatever lies ahead. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Give us a call or visit FBHP.com to learn more today.
Right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon of fuel every day. That's 5 cents off every gallon with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. It's quick and easy to join. Just visit makeitcount.com/radio or download the free app. So start saving today with Make It Count from Marathon. Offer valid only at participating Marathon locations. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Fans, don't let cataracts keep you from watching the Vols in 2020. The team at University Eye Specialists know cataracts can cloud your vision, but thanks to modern technologies and five-star surgeons, cataract surgery can be quick and easy, just like a Tennessee touchdown. With offices in Knoxville, Maryville, and Morristown, University Eye Specialists is conveniently located to serve you. Request an appointment today at universityeye.com or call 865-244-2020. University Eye Specialists, proudly serving the UT Athletics Department since 1978.
When Chrissy Ray and Chuck Tunkin founded Mortgage Investors Group in 1989, the idea was simple. Help people realize the American dream. 29 years and 115,000 clients later, Mortgage Investors Group is the number one lender in Tennessee. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do your mortgage, but it does take a promise. At MIG, it is their joy to keep promises. Go to MIGonline.com and let them get started on your American dream today. MIG is an equal housing lender. Mortgage license 109111.
Take it to the house this season with Truly Hard Seltzer. Whether you're tailgating or home gating, Truly Lemonade Hard Seltzer is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that's perfect for game day excitement. If life gives you lemons, keep the good times going with Truly. So bring the flavor and your volunteer spirit to game day like only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Proud supporter of Tennessee Athletics. Please drink responsibly.
You're listening to The Nation with Chris Lowe of ESPN.com and Austin Price of VolQuest.com. Presented by Mortgage Investors Group.
All right, welcome back into the show. Second segment here on The Nation with the Texas Roadhouse. Let's go right to the phone lines and welcome a special guest, the head football coach at the University of Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy, we appreciate you joining us, man. I guess we all need to strap in for a football season that's going to be unlike any we've ever seen before, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I would say so.
Let me ask you this. You said last week you felt a little bit better about getting some of your guys back on the field, practice had loosened up. How do you feel along those lines now as you guys get ready this week, as you go into game week and get ready for South Carolina?
Well, we had a lot of guys that got back this past week. We still got several guys that are out. So, you know, we just got to get as many live reps as we can with the guys that's missed and get ready to play. I mean, there's really nothing else you can do. So we got to get these guys where they can secure the football, that's used to handling the ball, that's not got binged around a little bit. And we've got to work hard on that and create situations to where they do secure the ball, and defensively, you know, we got to keep it where the guys can execute.
Coach Pruitt, this is Austin. So you're going up against Will Muschamp this week. Obviously, you're familiar with him, his new offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo. You've got some familiarity with him as well on your staff. Talk about what Coach Bobo does well as an offensive coordinator, and how much, I mean, is he one guy that, you know, you can kind of watch the end of last season, or are you having to watch several seasons to kind of get a feel for what all he does?
You know, I don't think a lot of people know this, but Robert Muschamp is Will's nephew. He worked for us last year and again this year. And I'm sitting here in my office looking. I see him out there on the balcony talking. I'm going to see who he's talking to. Nah, but those guys, offensively with Mike, we're very familiar with each other. We obviously worked a year together and been around each other and had guys on our staff that's worked for him and worked with him. So there's a lot of familiarity there. They do a fantastic job, always have, and that it'll be a tremendous challenge for us.
What do you know about the quarterback, Colin Hill, that will be their starter this week, and what does he do well, and what does he present problem-wise?
Well, you know, Colin, Mike was recruiting him for a long time. When we were at Georgia, Colin would come over with his high school team and do 7-on-7, so I've seen him since he was in high school. So he's a guy that understands his offense. He can make all the throws. Mike puts a lot of pressure on his quarterbacks, getting them in and out of bad plays, and which is important. And so he'll have familiarity there, and I'm sure it'll help him.
Jeremy, it's Chris. You guys got the word from the NCAA this past week that Cade Mays had received his waiver, still waiting to hear from the SEC. What do you expect along those lines? There's precedent when you look around the league just recently where guys have gone from one school to the next in the league and been eligible. Do you see any reason why that shouldn't be the case with Cade?
No, I mean, I'm kind of curious. I was going to wait. I hadn't heard anything from the SEC. Coach Fulmer actually talked to Greg, but I was going to follow up this evening. It's kind of time to make a decision on what we're going to do here. So, I don't know if they're going to do it case by case. They're going to just wholesale say everybody's eligible, but it would be a shame not to let these guys play football. You can see all over the country how the Big Ten's now playing, and, you know, it's just every week you don't know what's going to happen. There may be teams have to cancel games because they don't have enough players, so why would we not let guys who want to play?
Jeremy, you were saying a minute ago talking about trying to get guys back ready, you know, securing the football, just playing football, you know, the contact, the physical part of it. How much of an adjustment has it been on the practice field when you haven't had as many guys together as you would normally, just being good and developing the physical parts of the game, the blocking and tackling, the contact things that you need to be good at in this sport?
Well, we had about 8 to 10 practices that we barely had enough to practice. So we had to be creative. We had to be smart about not doing too much. But unfortunately for a lot of these guys, there might have been a position where it hadn't been hit by contact tracing, and so a guy might not have got a lot of reps, you know. So it's been frustrating for the players, been frustrating for the coaches. But I'm sure it's happening everywhere. We just got to find a way to adjust and keep moving forward.
Coach, it's Austin again. You have expressed a desire to see more out of your offensive line in fall camp. How have they done the last week or so? And do you think part of that's in the, you know, could it be possibly that the offensive line is just that much further ahead and that deeper unit than the defensive line? What do you attribute it to?
Well, I really don't know what you're talking about. So, what are you talking about?
Well, just you had mentioned that you were not pleased with the overall defensive line. Maybe.
Got nothing to do with the offense. That ain't got nothing to do with the offensive line. That's got to do with the defensive line. Just playing technique, being aggressive, playing low, playing hard, being physical, striking blockers, just all the little things it takes to be successful up front.
Jeremy, it's Chris. So when you look at your leadership across the board, and I would think more than ever this year, guys policing each other and making sure guys are taking care of their business and doing the best you can to create your own bubble, how have you seen that leadership grow you know, among, you know, inside and within your football team?
Well, it's kind of unusual. There's lots of times we can figure out where somebody possibly came in contact tracing, or they where they got COVID, but sometimes you can't. So, I mean, it's there's lots unknown. So, you know, we've had a few guys that's developed COVID, and they have no idea where they got it. So, you know, it's interesting.
Jeremy, you and I, we've both been around the SEC a long time, and when I look at a 10-game schedule, a 10-game league-only schedule, and probably none of us, when I say none of us, those in the media and fans have given enough credence to the kind of wear and tear and the grind that's going to be for everybody. When you look at that, and again, someone who's coached at several different places in the league, put that in perspective, what that's going to be like playing an SEC opponent every single week or every single game for 10 games.
Well, I've never had the privilege of coaching in the NFL, but I would think that it would be similar. You know, you look at those guys when it comes to playoff time, sometimes a team that goes 9-7 makes the playoffs.
Right.
So it's very competitive in our league from top to bottom. Anybody can beat anybody on any given week. So you got to be prepared every week.
Coach, could you just talk about Jerry Garantano and you know, what he's done well in fall camp and maybe what strides he still has to make as a quarterback?
Well, he's got to do it on game day, right? So Jared has done a lot of really good things over the last 2 years since we've been here. We're really focused on consistency. It's going to help having the same offensive coordinator for the second year. So hopefully it'll show up on Saturday.
Well, Jeremy, we appreciate you spending some time with us. I don't know about you, but therapeutic for me just to have some football, have some college football, and now here we get the SEC kicking it off. As you point toward you and your staff and your players, how relieved and just happy are you that with everything that we've all gone through, the pandemic and the hoops and all the precautions that you guys and everybody have had to take to get to this point, that we actually have some real football?
Well, I'm happy for the kids, that first and foremost. They put a lot of time and effort into it. And I feel like some of the rules that have been changed, giving the guys an extra year of eligibility, having walkthroughs, it's at least give them a fighting chance to be able to be at their best. So we'll continue to work hard every day and take it one day at a time, but I'm excited for our players to get a chance to compete.
Jeremy, thanks, man. Look forward to catching up with you soon. Good luck Saturday night in Columbia, and we'll catch up down the road.
Okay. See you, Chris. See you, Austin.
Okay. See you. That's head football coach Jeremy Pruitt joining us tonight on The Nation, saying that feels better about being able to get more guys on the field, but as he pointed out, there were, what, several practices where they really didn't have enough guys to really have what he would call a real practice, but they've made some strides and they've got more guys ready to play. But you know what? He also said this, and he's right. That's going to be a fight for teams across the conference most of this season.
Well, I think that's something that everybody is very aware that, you know, you're going to have these weeks where even if you're able to play, you could be shorthanded in areas. You may have to move guys from offense to defense or whatever.
And if it hits the right position, the wrong position,
yeah,
you're really in bad shape.
Yeah, correct. And so, I think that, you know, he's just trying to stay 1 week at a time. Right now they're focused on South Carolina because everybody's playing. Things seem to be better as far as getting the players back.
Well, I'll throw this out there. I had a chance to text with Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri's head coach. They had 12. He said last week they had 12. They will not be able to play against Alabama, and they're waiting on testing. Today's the day that SEC teams test, Sunday. They'll test on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So I think they're sort of waiting, you know, nervously in Columbia, Missouri, to make sure they're going to have enough guys to play as Alabama travels to Columbia, Missouri this Saturday. Our thanks again to Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee's head football coach, for joining us on The Nation. We will take our second break here on The Nation as we're at the Texas Roadhouse on the East location. He's Austin Price. I'm Chris Lowe. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Hey, fans, for the best selection of Big Orange merchandise, touchdown at Hound Dogs. Locally owned and operated, Hound Dogs is your one-stop shop for all things Big Orange. To find out more, text HG Radio to 64600. That's HG Radio to 64600. When it's time to get geared up for game day, just think Hound Dogs. Visit them online at hdknoxville.com.
Mortgage Investors Group is the number one residential mortgage lender in the state because they offer superior customer service and their mortgage professionals take pride in finding solutions personalized for you. As your home team lender, the local loan officers at MIG are experts in the market. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance, Mortgage Investors Group offers a winning game plan. To get pre-qualified or for information about our locations across Tennessee, visit MIGonline.com. Equal housing lender, license 109111.
This is Dr. Colby Stewart with Tennessee LASIK. It's been a privilege to partner with the Vols for over a decade. Tennessee LASIK has helped thousands improve their vision, including VFL greats Rajon Neal and Will Overstreet. Are you tired of wearing glasses or contact lenses? Visit tnlasik.com or call 966-9182 to schedule your free consultation today. Tennessee LASIK wants you to see the Vols in 2020.
Remember the first time you climbed the high dive ladder? You thought about it all summer. You watched the others. Now, all your friends were watching you. Life is full of these high dive moments. But when you have a bank like First Horizon behind you, you've got the confidence to make a big splash. Now you can get a jump on your finances with a special bonus when you open any checking account. First Horizon, understanding runs deep. Visit firsthorizon.com/leap.
Enjoy the world's most refreshing beer, Coors Light, all season long. Whether you're at Neyland Stadium or tailgating at home, crack open an ice-cold Coors Light, the official beer of enjoying college football wherever you are. When things heat up on the gridiron, Coors Light is there to cool things down. Because it's made to chill. This fall, reach for the beer that supports the Vols. Mountain Cold Refreshment. Coors Light, proud sponsor of the Tennessee Volunteers. Celebrate responsibly. 21 means 21.
This is The Nation, presented by Mortgage Investors Group and hosted on location by Texas Roadhouse. Now, back to Chris and Austin.
We are back at the Texas Roadhouse. We would be Chris Lowe and Austin Price. This is The Nation. We do it every Sunday night. Our thanks again to Jeremy Pruitt joining us in the second segment. Sounding, would you say, confident, reasonably optimistic, saying that if the SEC does the right thing, that Cade Mays will be wearing...
Not just Cade, but all, he said all the kids.
And he did, that there's no reason, especially in this year, kids in that situation.
Which, again, I've said that for the... this isn't a Cade Mays thing. This is an everybody thing.
Should not get
no
that...
No kid should be ineligible
waiver
right
to
now.
Play. And again, I you never say never, but with the NCAA having signed off, I understand the SEC doesn't want to see a pipeline of players every year going from this school to that school, from this rival to that rival.
Well, let's face it. How many times does Auburn beat out Tennessee or Tennessee beat out Georgia
or Georgia
beat out Alabama for a recruit? Well, when kid gets disgruntled, what's he going to look like? Man, I really should have picked Auburn when I come out of high school. I'm going to Auburn. You know, and that's what you end up with.
And if you look at this situation from 1,000 feet away and you don't have a dog in the fight, I mean, you can see different sides.
But, how they recruit a kid once the one-time waiver transfer goes into effect will change, because I think, you know, finishing second sometimes you'll be like, okay, we didn't get him, but we could get him on the bounce back.
But here's what coaches and fans probably just need to accept, is that the rules and the appetite is changing, and kids are going to have more freedom, and it's opening up to be able to transfer.
Just look
whether it's the one-time transfer, what it is, you know, the days of schools being able to control that are over.
Yes, correct. And just look at just how college football has changed this offseason, with the players feeling so much more entitled to speak their mind, to have more of a voice. You know, throw in there the one-time transfer waiver without having to sit out. I mean, kids are going to be more empowered now, especially when, you know, name, image, and likeness, you know, goes through, and it'll eventually go through. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I continue to think that, you know, college football's got to evolve. It can't get stuck in the past. It's got to continue to evolve and realize, hey, we got to bend a little, so we don't break long term.
Yeah, and you've seen that happen with the whole postgraduate rule. Kids able to graduate and then go keep their a year of eligibility and go play elsewhere. I mean, if you would have told somebody that 10 years ago, that was going to be a role in college football.
Or if you told Coach Fulmer right after he was, you know, exited in 2008, that was going to become the norm.
Yeah. No way people would
have said that's crazy.
Would have looked at you like you had two heads. You want to remind fans that this season, just relax, enjoy, and celebrate with the great refreshing beverages that support University of Tennessee Athletics, Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment that's made to chill, Twisted Tea, Real Brewed Iced Tea with a Twist of Lemon, Light and Crisp Truly Hard Seltzer, and ice cold Dos Equis Cerveza. Distributed across the Volunteer State by Cherokee Distributing. Remember to celebrate responsibly, and 21 means 21. So, AP. So if you look at, you look at some of these, we talked a little South Carolina, Tennessee. I don't know that there's a lot of just matchups in the SEC that jump out at me. You have Florida plays. They go to Oxford. We get to see Lane Kiffin's debut with the Ole Miss Rebels as they take on the Gators. That matchup, the head coach matchup, Dan Mullen against Lane Kiffin, I think those two guys would love nothing more than to beat each other. So that I think that matchup, Florida's got the better football team, clearly. And I think Florida's got the personnel to be a real factor in the East and eventually in the national race. But the rest of the lineup, you know, you got LSU and Mississippi State. I will be interested to see with all the personnel losses from the championship team last year, some of the opt-outs. Although it sounds like some of the kids at LSU are thinking about coming back. But, boy, LSU, even though Ed Ogeron and that staff has recruited like gangbusters, they lost a ton of talent from last year's team.
Well, just proven talent. I mean, they've got talent still on that football team. But, I mean, as far as guys that you know what you're getting every Saturday, yeah, a lot of that's gone. I mean, you know, the receivers wiped out, you know, quarterback gone. Edward Solaire gone. You know, even the tight end, Moss, gone. Then you start losing some key defensive guys. I mean, they've got Jacoby Stevens back. He's, you know, a guy that, you know, is a veteran on that defense. But, I mean, you know, a ton of talent on that team still, just not proven talent. And that's hard when you don't have, you know, McNeese State or one of those teams to kind of, you know, dip your feet in the water a little bit. You're going right into the deep end.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I asked Jeremy that in our interview is, you know, you just, you know, there's not a couple games, you know, or breathers. I mean, you're going to have to be ready to go every week. And, you know, you have a bad week.
Well, it's the equivalent, to put it in golf terms, it's the equivalent of, you know, going and playing a U.S. Open type setup and starting out with a 485 or 510-yard par 4 right out of the gate. You know, you don't ease into the round with, you know, something that you can hit driver wedge to. So,
well,
I mean, it's,
I don't know many par 4s that you take on in my time of playing. You don't usually hit a 3-wood and a pitch and wedge to the green.
Yeah, after I've duck hooked my drive.
Some of the lines in this first week, some of the opening lines in the SEC. We mentioned earlier Tennessee opens as a 3-point favorite at South Carolina. That is 7:30 kickoff on the SEC network. Some of the others, Auburn at home, a 10-point favorite over Kentucky. That game's a noon kickoff. Florida on the road at Ole Miss, a 14-point favorite over the Rebels in Lane Kiffin. Mississippi State playing at LSU, the defending national champion Tigers, a 16-point favorite. That game's a 3:30 CBS game. Georgia at Arkansas, the Dogs, a 25-point favorite over Sam Pittman's Hogs. Alabama going on the road playing at Missouri, the Tide, a 22-point favorite. And could be touch and go for the Missouri Tigers, whether or not they have enough to play. As I said, testing today, mandatory SEC testing today, so they'll find out. Missouri should know more tomorrow. Vanderbilt at Texas A&M, the Aggies, AP, a 32-point favorite in College Station over the Vanderbilt Commodores. So those are the opening lines in the SEC. I still think, and you nailed it, or you said it, that they have not been able to get over the hump. Everybody seems to have that team. Kentucky has not been able to beat Tennessee. I bet Kentucky is a lot better this year than people give them credit for. Again, quarterback's got to stay healthy. they need to be certainly much more balanced on offense and have a pulse in the running in the passing game. But that's a team, if you ask other than usual suspects, who's a team that maybe could have a big year or a bigger year than they're given credit for, I think Kentucky. Stoops has done a really nice job there of developing players. Kentucky's done a nice job of helping with resources, reinvesting in the program. Their facilities are a ton nicer than they used to be, and he's been able to keep some of his coaches. Certainly in the East, there are teams that I think has a chance to be better. And then the West is just, I mean, it's a you better strap it on every week in the West, because there's about four or five teams that have a chance to be really good on that side. I don't know. I mean, I was at Alabama this week for a couple of days. Got a chance to watch them practice. They don't have Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback. All right. They don't have Jalen Hurts at quarterback. But their offensive line, I think, has a chance to be as good as they've had under Nick Saban in a long time. Both their tackles are pros. Leatherwood and Evan Neal. Landon Dickerson is going to play center, the kid who transferred. I mean, they are really, really good up front. And I think we'll be what we're sort of used to seeing Alabama look like on defense in the front seven this year, too.
All right, it's time for the Marathon Question of the Week. Want to get a full tank of freedom? Stop by your neighborhood Marathon station. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. As we are on the eve of kickoff, it's the kickoff game week here across the Southeastern Conference. Take Vanderbilt off the board. What coach is on the biggest hot seat, even through this weird time where everybody's, you know, not wanting to spend money and likely probably going to keep them if they can, because they're going to lose money as athletic departments across the league. What coach is on the hot seat most, and who do you think ends up on the hot seat by the end of the year?
Well, I think Will Muschamp at South Carolina, given their 4-8 finish last year, is probably a guy that this is fifth season in Columbia. If they throw another 500 type season or certainly worse, there's no,
I think 5-5 and he would be okay.
No, I should say worse. If they're back under 500 again, there's going to be a lot of howling in Columbia.
I think 4-6, given the circumstances of what we just talked about, I think he probably would survive. 3-7?
I don't know. He's the one that jumps out the most, because I think across the board it's going to be hard for schools who are going to be losing as much money as they are paying guys $4, $5, $6, $7, $8 million.
Correct. And his buyout is
massive.
Yeah, it's pretty big. You know, another big buyout, but I just think a lot of it depends on the year he has. Every year, Gus Malzahn ends up on the hot seat.
Well, and that, but you know what? Whoever's the coach at Auburn is going to be on the hot seat.
Correct. I'll tell you one I don't think will be on the hot seat, but I think he may not be there past this year, is the guy you just talked about, is Mark Stoops.
Do you think he gets another job?
I think he played at Iowa. Their whole offseason of fun of, you know.
And he was in it a little bit at Florida State, too.
I think Iowa makes a ton of sense for him, because he played there, and that one just, yeah, it just spells of, you know, a guy that could go in there, kind of going to get a reboot. And that side of the Big Ten's not very good. That's my reasoning behind the thought process. One, he's an alum. Two, you're opposite all the big guys over on the other side. How they don't have that weighted more evenly just to me seems bizarre.
All right, let's take our final break here on The Nation. That's Austin Price breaking it down as only he can. I'm Chris Lowe. We'll be back here from the Texas Roadhouse in just a couple minutes. Okay, fans, it's almost football time in Tennessee. In fact, it is football time in Tennessee this Saturday night as the Vols open the season on the road in Columbia against the South Carolina Gamecocks. And you can show your big orange colors by purchasing the official 2020 football fan T-shirt. This shirt features General Nealon's game maxim, put on more steam. That's the official Tennessee football fan shirt, available at Alumni Hall, Food City, the Vols Shop, and Hound Dogs.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
When Chrissy Ray and Chuck Tunkin founded Mortgage Investors Group in 1989, the idea was simple. Help people realize the American dream. 29 years and 115,000 clients later, Mortgage Investors Group is the number one lender in Tennessee. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do your mortgage, but it does take a promise. At MIG, it is their joy to keep promises. Go to MIGonline.com and let them get started on your American dream today. MIG is an equal housing lender. Mortgage license 109111.
For more than 70 years, Farm Bureau Health Plans has helped Tennesseans protect themselves, their families, and their savings. And now, in tough times like these, it's more important than ever that we look out for each other. For many of you impacted by recent events, we can help make sure you're protected with quality, affordable coverage that's right for you right now, so you're prepared for whatever lies ahead. Give us a call or visit FBHP.com to learn more today.
It's been a long offseason, and while this football season might look a little different, Dos Equis wants to remind you that nothing will change one of college football's oldest traditions, the proud tradition of drinking beer. Tailgate from anywhere with an ice-cold, refreshing Dos Equis. Whether you're watching in Neyland, cheering from home, or hosting a virtual game watch, nothing goes with college football like an ice-cold, refreshing cerveza. Dos Equis, proud sponsor of Tennessee football. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Copyright 2020.
This is The Nation, presented by Mortgage Investors Group and hosted by Texas Roadhouse. Now, back to Chris and Austin.
Welcome back into the show. We appreciate you spending part of your Sunday evening with us. I always look forward to The Nation. I always look forward to spending some time with our good friends out here at Texas Roadhouse. And AP, looking forward to SEC football this Saturday night. A whole lineup of games. Of course, the Vols and the Gamecocks kicking it off at 7:30 in Columbia, South Carolina at Williams-Brice Stadium, and you'll be there. How many straight games you been to, AP?
I don't know the total. I know it's over 200. I counted up a couple of
years ago. 200 straight games, period.
Yeah, the last game I missed was 0-3 Miami, which was a bad one to miss. Vols won 10-6.
Derek Tensley, a little reverse there.
That's
right.
DT, baby.
Fourth down, a little reverse. Lined him up in the sort of in the slot, came around and scored.
Yep.
And then Colquitt with the punt,
and the late great Sean Taylor, of course, muffed that punt.
Was it Taylor the one that muffed that punt? What else happened in that game? You remember? There was something else in that game, a part of that game that was memorable, or maybe you could say not so memorable. That's the game where Kellen Winslow Jr. went off.
Oh, yeah, after the game. Yeah, yeah.
After the game, talking about he was a soldier.
Soldier, yeah. I thought that wasn't in the game, though. You threw me off.
Part of the game. And I think Miami had won 28 in a row at the Orange Bowl at that point. Tennessee broke their home winning streak, 30 games.
Of course, the year before, they come in there and just throttle Tennessee on home.
Well, that was 2 years. That was the 03 season. The 01, of course, Tennessee didn't play them in 01. That 01, I still contend, the 01 Miami football team in my lifetime is as good and talented a college football team as I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It was loaded from top to bottom across the board with all the different positions. I mean,
95 Nebraska may have an argument. And I'm sure there's some others, a couple of those Alabama teams. But that 0-1 Miami team was unbelievable. All right, fans love new. They love new faces. They love freshmen. They want to know who's going to be the next breakout guys. Who are the freshmen on this Tennessee football team that you like the most, and maybe even as early as Saturday night in Columbia, or at least the first few games of the season, may make the biggest impact for the Vols?
Well, I think as far as pure impact, I think a lot of freshmen are going to play because, again, this eligibility does not matter. I think that, you know, Jalen Hyatt will play really meaningful snaps. I think that Malachi Wideman will play meaningful snaps, probably more so like 50 and in, you know, because he can go catch a jump ball. I think they'll use him situationally. Defensively, I think Morvin Joseph plays. I think Tyler Barron plays. I think Keyshawn Lawrence plays. I think he'll play. I don't think he'll play a whole lot, especially early, but I think at some point he'll get carries, considering he only moved to running back 3 days ago. What is D back with? Just because right now T. Hodge has been hampered by a calf. Tennessee don't really have a bigger back, and I don't know if they really want to put Corvarus Crouch over there just because he could mean so much to the defense. Yeah. You know, I just don't think that's worth it, much like I don't think necessarily it's worth it to put Ty Chandler back out on kickoffs anymore. We'll see if Tennessee still does that, but Tennessee's so thin at tailback, the last thing they can do is get Ty Chandler or Eric Gray hurting special teams.
And why would you not play freshman? I mean, whether you want to put him in situation to rush the passer down on the goal line, it's a free year. You know, so if you think a kid can help you in a situation, whether it's getting after the quarterback, if it's down in the red zone, somebody does something that you're looking for, you're going to see, I think, more of those guys play, not just to Tennessee, but across the board this year than ever before.
No,
it was a little bit like that because you had the four games. You couldn't go past the four-game threshold in the past and still retain your redshirt year. But this year it's going to be straight on through.
Well, it's like a Javonte Spraggins. Had a great, great camp. Some of that due to the fact that a lot of guys were out for COVID. He took advantage of it. And I think has warranted playing time. I think he'll play some along the offensive line. A lot of it, to me, depends on how they work the offensive line. I think Jameer Johnson probably starts at left tackle this game just because Wanye's been out. But Wanye's got a full week here to kind of reassert himself. I do think that Jameer's leash will be really short. And so, if he don't come out and play really good football early, if he starts, then I think Wanye will be quick to come in. After that, Trey, Brandon Kennedy at center. And then where do they play Cade? Do they play Cade at right guard where everybody kind of penciled him in at all this time? Or do they potentially play him at tackle? He could play right tackle. I think a lot of that depends on where they feel like Darnell Wright is.
If they play him at right tackle, who's the right guard?
Jerome Carvin, I think, would be the right guard, or Javonte Spraggins, but more than likely Carvin. Tennessee's got so much depth along the offensive line.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say, man. They've not had
this in so long. It's unbelievable.
When have they had this flexibility to move and mix
they
and match
haven't.
Guys?
I mean, they haven't. Go back to when Lane took over. He played the Sullins brothers. They were walk-ons.
And especially in a year when you're playing all SEC games, you better be deep in the offensive line and better have some versatility.
And they do.
And that's the kind of thing, as you say, that we haven't seen at Tennessee in a long time. And if you're gonna get through the SEC season, especially one where you're playing all 10 games, you better have 8 or 9 guys who can play up front.
That's right.
All right, our thanks to Jeremy Pruitt for joining us tonight on The Nation. Thanks to my main man, Austin Price. Our extraordinary engineer producer, Jay Lyford. Look forward to seeing Thomas down the road, his son. We'll see you next Sunday right here on The Nation.
You've been listening to The Nation with Chris Lowe of ESPN.com and Austin Price of Rivals and VolQuest.com. Presented by Mortgage Investors Group and hosted by Texas Roadhouse. Sponsored by Mortgage Investors Group, the number one lender in the state of Tennessee, making the American dream possible. Learn more at MIGOnline.com. By Tennessee LASIK Associates, proud supporter of the Tennessee Volunteers. See the difference with Tennessee LASIK. By Texas Roadhouse, your home for legendary food and legendary service. 12 area East Tennessee restaurants. By Marathon, featuring top-tier clean gasoline for peak performance. Stop by your neighborhood Marathon station. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. By University Eye Specialists, helping you live life in focus since 1935. And by Dos Equis, nothing goes with college football like an ice-cold, refreshing Dos Equis cerveza. Keep it interesante, and please enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Distributed across the Volunteer State by Cherokee Distributing. The Nation is also brought to you by Join us again next Sunday across the Volunteer State for more news on college sports and the SEC. This is The Nation, signing off.